Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month. This monthly cassette tape series represents yet another step in accomplishing Granting & Associates' vision of helping the service contractor come to a place of maturity and profitability. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. With all the changes going on in the trades industry, it may also be time to think about new innovative ways to pay our technicians. One option is a thing called performance-based pay. This month, you're going to hear one of the top consultants in the trades industry discuss this new method of paying technicians. Ron Collier received his Ph.D. in instructional development from Purdue University, where he went on to teach a number of classes. After 13 years as a business educator and consultant, he became training coordinator for a major manufacturer in the heating and air conditioning industry, helping over 2,000 contractors develop profitable and successful businesses. In 1991, Ron established the Collier Consulting Group. His group of professionals provide business development instruction, accounting services, and individual consulting to contractors across the country. Collier Consulting has also developed a number of HVAC-specific software, including one of the leading flat-rate systems in the industry. Today, Ron is going to share with us about the new concept of performance base for technicians. Listen to the tape and then give the system some serious thought. It may be time for a change.
Today in the contracting industry, we really have a major problem. And the problem is, of course, retaining good labor workers. And it's hard today to even find good people to go to work. It's just as difficult, I guess, to retain them. So what we've really got to do is we've got to make some major changes in how we actually pay all kinds of workers. And this change is typically called performance-based pay. Productivity of labor is probably one of the main reasons that, as contractors, you lose money. That and also the effect of pricing. But productivity of labor is one of the key issues in really loss of revenue. Typically, in a heating and air conditioning company, we have what we call applied or billable time, and we also have what we call unapplied time. Billable time is, of course, that time during the week that can be directly billed to a customer. That means that as a contractor, we're being reimbursed by a customer for the wage that we're paying, for example, the technician or perhaps the installer. The unapplied time or unbillable time, which is typically one of our overhead expenses, is that amount of time that's not being billed. It's called unproductive time or unapplied time. This may be drive time. It could be training time. It could be just time in the office that's used to gather up materials for the day. But regardless, this is what we call unapplied time, and quite honestly, in most businesses, it's really out of control. There's a financial formula that's very interesting, and you might want to try it with your own company, and that is if you take the amount of unapplied time and divide it by your net profit, it tells you how much additional sales that you need to generate to make up for the lost time. It can be very costly. Let me illustrate with an example. Let's say that during the year, your field workers accumulate approximately $10,000 worth of pay through what we call unapplied time. These are wages that we paid to them that we were not reimbursed by customers. If we take the $10,000 and divide it by, let's say, a profit of 5%, the value you would get would be $200,000. So that means as a contractor, you've got to generate an additional $200,000 worth of sales to offset the lost time when these workers were not productive. It all has to come back to productivity of labor. Productivity of labor really controls profitability. It can either help it or it can hurt it immensely. So how can we change the way we pay people? How can we change the way we pay coworkers? Particularly, how can we do for the field, also, too, for office? Well, let's first talk about field workers. One of the main problems with unapplied time is the way we dispatch. It is important that dispatchers give technicians and also installers one call at a time. And we must do this before we enter into any kind of performance-based pay compensation, because otherwise we do not know how to track applied versus unapplied time. So the first thing that we do is we instruct our dispatcher to be sure that technicians receive all of their calls ideally away from the office. What this means is that really calls should be dispatched to the technicians' homes. They should receive the call probably around 7:30 in the morning, and then the technician should show up at the customer's house at 8 o'clock. This reduces a lot of unapplied or unbillable time, unproductive time in the office, gathering up invoices, loading trucks, etc. So the technician receives the call around 7:30 at their house, drives directly to the customer's home or business, and basically reports into the office via a radio or a cell phone at, let's say, 8 o'clock. And whenever they are through with that particular service call, then they call the office back and sort of check out. So the dispatcher becomes a check-in, check-out kind of person, and as soon as the technician checks out of a job, the dispatcher automatically then dispatches the next call. So we want to keep time on task. We want to keep technicians in the field as much as possible. We want to track and be sure we know exactly where they are 8 hours a day, because if we can track this in, out, applied time versus unapplied time, then it's very easy for us to go to a performance-based pay program. Now let's look specifically at technicians. Most technicians today are paid just a normal hourly rate for a certain number of hours worked during the week, and of course we must always pay time and a half for overtime. One performance-based pay compensation method would be to pay on billable time only. So let's say that a worker, let's say, is making $16 an hour right now. Perhaps what we want to do is maybe reduce that and perhaps pay him like $14 an hour for unbillable time, and perhaps we might make it $18 or $20 an hour for billable time. So we encourage him to bill as many hours as possible. The average billing in the United States probably ranges from about 30 to 35 hours per technician. So right this second, we're probably looking at 5 to 10 unbillable hours per week per tech. So if we compensate them for billable time, then maybe in turn they will actually bill more hours because they can get more pay. Another way to do this is what we call incremental billable time. And that means that you pay them a certain rate at different levels of billable time. For example, let's say if they bill between 0 and 30 hours, for all of those hours they make $14 an hour. For all those hours that they bill between 30 and 35, perhaps they make $16 an hour. Between 35 and 40, they make $18 an hour. Between 40 and 45, they make $20 an hour. Anything over 45, they might make $22 or $23 an hour. This is what we call incremental performance-based pay, because obviously the pay gets higher the more hours that they bill. And this encourages them, once again, to bill more time. If you happen to be on flat rate, and really all of you in the HVAC contracting industry should be, there's another method that you could actually use, and we basically call it performance-based pay on flat rate. Most people on flat rate charge customers what we call a diagnostic charge. And typically this diagnostic charge includes 1 hour of labor. That means a certain amount of time, let's say 30 minutes, to drive to the customer's house, and perhaps 30 minutes designated in a customer's house to find out what the problem is, actually come up with a diagnosis. So one thing that we could do is for every flat rate invoice that a technician turns in, we pay them 1 hour of time for the diagnostic. On top of that, we pay them for their actual repair. If you go to this type of flat rate compensation, a couple of things come to mind. Number one, one thing you would want to do automatically, since you have raised your rate and are making fairly good money per hour on flat rate, one thing that would be advisable would be to raise all the service techs' pay. So, for example, we typically raise it about 25%. We take a technician who's, let's say, making $16 an hour, and now we raise it 25%, and now they're making $20 a flat rate hour. So for every flat rate invoice that they turn in, we automatically pay them one flat rate hour for the diagnostic, plus we pay them the repair time. As you know, in flat rate, there are a certain amount of minutes assigned to each and every task. And this is the time that we would actually use and allocate to a technician for payment. Let's say they went out and, for example, replaced a capacitor on a unit, and there was 15 minutes worth of time built into that task. Then, for that particular ticket, they would receive 1 hour flat rate pay for the diagnostic, and then they would receive 15 minutes worth of flat rate pay for the repair. So it would be actually worth, the entire ticket would be worth 1 hour and 15 minutes, 1.25 hours at $20 a flat rate hour. They'd receive $25 for that particular ticket. Now remember, the methods that I'm talking about here have nothing to do with the hours worked. This is simply a method of compensation. It is important whenever we do performance-based pay for field workers that we check them in and out of jobs, and we also require them, which is required by law anyway, to keep time cards, because this is what we must do. We may actually be paying people for 50 hours of billable time. We might be actually paying people for 50 hours of flat rate time, but they only work 40 hours. I'll discuss that a little bit later when we talk about overtime. Now, if we bill people like this with flat rate or perhaps just billable time, then the question always comes up, particularly for technicians, on how do we handle callbacks. We propose what we really call a callback bank. And this bank is actually established by the company, and what we actually do is give each technician basically one callback hour per week. We know that even good technicians are going to have callbacks. So automatically, we give everyone in the company one callback hour per week. Theoretically, in this so-called bank, they can accumulate as many as 52 hours a year because of the 52 weeks. So they accumulate these callback hours, and then whenever they have to go out on a callback, the hours on the ticket comes out of the callback bank. Let me illustrate like this. Let's say a technician has accumulated, let's say, 20 callback hours, and a customer calls on an apparent callback. If you send the technician out, and it truly is a callback, they did not actually fix the problem the first time, the invoice is really brought back to the office with no money. The customer was not able to be charged. And that's a very important point, because that's how we really define a callback. It's when a technician has to return for a second visit to a home or a business, and an invoice is brought back actually with no money. We're not able to bill the customer, nor is there any money attached to the invoice. So if a technician happens to have these 20 callback hours in his bank, he goes to a customer's house, brings back an invoice that's actually worth two, let's say, flat rate hours, then those 2 hours would be deducted from his callback bank. At the end of the year, whatever hours are left in the callback bank, we would take those hours, multiply by what we're paying this technician per flat rate hour. For example, let's say $20. So if he had like 10 callback hours left times $20, he'd receive a $200 callback bonus at the end of the year. Now, the other question is, what if someone goes on another tech's callback? Perhaps the technician who initially went out on the call is on vacation or perhaps is ill, and you have to send another technician out. Well, what we basically do is move callback hours from bank to bank. So if technician A is not available, we send out technician B, and if it's truly a callback, then 2 hours would come out of technician's A bank and be given to technician B. This really resolves the problem of technicians not really wanting to go out on callbacks, not really wanting to have to face the customer. But this way, in essence, they're really rewarded, or they will be rewarded at the end of the year for these different kinds of callback banks. So it seems to work fairly well. It's a fairly fair system. By no means is it perfect, but it does take care of the instance of callbacks. And also, let me remind you once again, the definition of a callback is whenever an invoice is created for a second time and the invoice is returned to the office with no money attached. Because really a callback is between a technician and the customer. It really doesn't involve the office. It's what the technician actually finds at the job site and what they're able to negotiate or look at with the customer. And if there's really no money that can be charged, then it's truly a callback. Now, whenever we talk about installers, we have a different kind of issue. Because installers, of course, are not billing customers directly like service techs. We don't dispatch them like we do service techs. So it brings another kinds of problems. But what's important with installers in order to really gain their performance, or should I say up the productivity of installers or installing crews? One thing that's very important is to never tell an installing crew how many hours are on a job. Automatically, you're putting them within a certain parameter. If you say that a job is going to take 4 hours, that's really what you're giving them. You're giving them 4 hours to complete the job. However, typically in our system of pay, there's no penalty if they take longer than 4 hours, nor is there any kind of reward if they take less than 4 hours. And that's the inherent problem with the wage structure that we have. So what we need to be able to do is develop a performance-based pay system for installers that rewards them for efficiency, training, working together as a team. So as far as installers are concerned, one easy method is to simply pay the installing crew exactly the monies that you calculated for the job. If you think it's going to take an installing crew X amount of hours and you've allocated, let's say, $300 to change out a system, you think that's what it's going to cost you right now, then that's really what you need to tell the installing crew. You say you need to go to this customer's house, change out their air handler or furnace and their air conditioner, and I'm going to pay you $300 to do this. So you don't mention time to installers, you just mention money. The installers then can take really as little or as much time as possible. They can stay as little or as much time in the office as possible. They can do their sheet metal fabrication on the job, or they can come back to the office. It really makes no difference because the pay is the same. It's $300. Now, by doing this, it really causes installers to work more as a team. It makes them become more efficient. They actually work together. And in fact, installers that typically are on performance-based pay, they tend to actually install the job before they ever get there. I've ridden with installers on performance-based pay, and it's amazing how they've got the entire installation worked out in the pickup or the van prior to arrival at the job site. They know exactly what each one is going to do in a particular order, so now they begin to do things more efficiently. As we all know, there's many ways to install an air conditioner, a heat pump, air handler, or gas furnace, but there are only good ways, a few good ways, proper ways, certain things to do in a particular order that's most efficient. Now, this $300, let's say that we're paying the installing crew, it would be divided between the lead installer and also the assistant. The installation assistant. Typically around the United States, the lead person would get somewhere between 60 and 70% of the job. The installation assistant would get approximately 30 to 40% of that money. As installation assistants get better, they're able to take on more of a lead role, then they can be promoted, of course, to a team leader, a installation foreman, and then, of course, their pay would change from the 30 to 40 to the 60 to 70. Another way to approach this with installers on the performance-based pay is to actually discuss with them or set up certain monies for certain installations. A lot of people, for example, set up, let's say, $120 for the crew to change out an air conditioner, $120 to change out a heat pump or an air handler or a furnace, perhaps $40 to change out a coil, perhaps $40 for a thermostat, $40 for a line set. And so as we begin to give proposals, then we actually come up with certain values of jobs that we're going to give installers. Now, one question that I want to attack is the idea of overtime, because it's certainly possible that through performance-based pay that they're going to still work more than 40 hours a week. And what really happens in performance-based pay for all field workers is their pay is definitely going to change, and in fact, their pay typically is going to change on a weekly basis. So you have two issues here. One, we can just pay them billable time or performance-based pay, or we can actually guarantee them a certain rate of pay. Many contractors in the United States adopt a policy of guaranteed wage. What this means is I will pay installers or technicians X amount of dollars per week, or performance-based pay, whichever is greater. This ensures that even during slow times, I'm still loyal to my installing crews and my technicians, and they tend not to go away and find other work because perhaps I'm laying them off or not giving them enough work. So this tends to work out real well. Now, knowing this, we can discuss the overtime issue. According to the federal government, you really need to, of course, pay people for overtime work because installers and service techs are hourly workers. At the end of every week, you do a simple formula to determine how much you need to pay them. And so listen carefully, and I'll try to describe it. You actually take the total compensation that a person earns in the company, whether it's based on an hourly rate, a guaranteed rate, or performance-based pay. You take that total compensation and you divide it by the hours worked on the time card. And that gives you the hourly wage for the week, the average hourly wage that you have to use to figure overtime compensation. Let me give you an illustration. Let's say that a technician or perhaps an installer earns $1,000 for a week. That's his total compensation. And he works 40 hours via the time card. And if we take 1,000 divided by 40, we get an hourly rate of $25 an hour. Now, the $25 an hour is greater than minimum wage. So we have taken care of minimum wage compensation. We don't have a problem with that. The technician or installer actually worked 40 hours or less, so we don't have to worry about paying any overtime. So the $1,000 we paid that particular individual is fine. No problems. Don't have to change it. However, let's look at the following week. The installer or service tech accumulates the same amount of monies. Let's say they earn $1,000 compensation through performance-based pay. However, this particular week, for whatever reason, they actually worked 50 hours. Perhaps they were on call. Perhaps you paid them for training, whatever it may be, or you were very busy. If we take $1,000 divided by 50 hours, now our hourly rate for the week changed to $20 an hour. 1,000 divided by 50 is 20. So their average hourly pay for the week now is $20 an hour. We've also noticed that they have worked 10 hours overtime. So what we must do is we must take the 10 hours overtime that they worked, multiply that by one half of the hourly rate for the week, $20, and we come up with $100. 10 hours times one half of 20 equals $100. So this week they cannot earn $1,000 because they worked overtime. They've got to be paid $1,000 plus $100 or $1,100. And that's how we actually satisfy overtime compensation. It's just something that we have to do, and we have to understand through performance-based pay that these hourly rates are going to change on actually a weekly basis. It's really not too difficult to track it, because what I do recommend is for all field workers, we give them some kind of guaranteed base. So if you have an accounting package and right now they're really on a guaranteed base because you're paying them hourly, that we just merely put that guaranteed base into our accounting package, and then at the end of every week we either leave it like it is if we haven't had enough performance-based pay, or we merely add to it to bring it up to the performance-based pay level. But that way it makes it easy for our accounting people. Now lastly, we need to talk about what we call office people, and the office people could, of course, include the dispatcher, could be include even accounting people, etc. I think all the people in the office, besides their normal type of pay, just like field workers and installers, installation assistants, etc., I think everyone is responsible for a sale. Even with the initial phone call, that person perhaps caused the customer to continue dealing with us. So really everyone in our company, if we have 20 coworkers, we really have 20 salespeople. And I think all the office people, even though they're not directly billing customers, they need to have some kind of what we call performance-based compensation. So office workers should receive their normal pay, and then one thing that you might consider is paying them a percent of total sales. This could be very small. If an HVAC company earns about 3-4% of sales as a bottom line of net profit, we can't pay them a lot, but we might be able to pay them, you know, a certain part of that profitability. We might want to pay them a certain percent of sales on a monthly basis. And I think that's really fair. We want them all to assist the field. We want them to close sales as much as possible. And so I think they should receive a percent of the sales dollar on a monthly basis, plus their normal wage, plus, of course, normal kind of commissions that you would assign to selling accessories or service agreements or things like that. I think that's very important for the entire team effort. It's very, very good. It's going to work. Now, the reason we emphasize performance-based pay so much today is the fact of really, as you know, it's difficult to find good coworkers, even in the office or even in the field as installers or service techs. Good people are not sitting on every corner waiting to go to work for us. So really what's more important today is not necessarily attracting good workers to us. A lot of the workers we have are very, very good. The question is, we need to retain them. We believe that the only way that you're going to be able to retain service technicians is probably be able to pay them somewhere around $60,000 a year. Installers, you're probably going to have to pay at a minimum of $40,000. Now, the only way that you're going to be able to do this is probably to change the way that you price your jobs. And one thing you need to do is probably go overall to flat rate pricing. Flat rate pricing is going to give you the necessary monies that you need to pay your service techs on flat rate pay, which is exactly what we recommend. Also, with installers, if you're planning on paying installers $40,000 a year or more to keep them, the only way to do that is to go to performance-based pay through your installers. That's very important. And you're going to have to come up with some very creative ways to pay these field workers and also office people more money to keep the good ones. We spend too much time trying to go out and attract new workers. We need to try to keep the ones that we actually have. And I think that's what the key is. But in order to pay people, we must make them productive. They must be able to bring in more monies to our place of business. Right now we have a problem because through our existing wage structure, we're probably paying unproductive people maybe just as much as productive people. And that is not going to last very long in your company. Those productive people are going to say it's not worth it. So what's important today is to reward productivity. And what you'll actually find is, quite honestly, if you go to performance-based pay, typically for field workers, you'll actually find you don't need as many field workers. If I can get my techs to start billing, let's say, 40 hours a week through flat rate versus a normal 30 hours a week through time and material billing, and I pay them performance-based pay, then I don't need as many technicians, because perhaps three technicians are now billing as much as four technicians did whenever I was on traditional methods. I also find the same with installing crews. Right this second, perhaps installers can only install five systems a week, but if I happen to go to performance-based pay, they might install six or seven. And certainly installers can work better, they can work faster, they can work more efficiently. I always say installers can actually do much, much better if they're given incentives to do that. One thing that I like to do is always hold a installation job to like Friday, and let's say that it's a 10 or a 12-hour job, assign it to an installing crew and tell them whenever they finish then they can go home. And what you'll find is the majority of installing crews will finish at 5 o'clock, they'll do the job in 8 hours, and go home. But now what you've done is you've given them an incentive, you've given them a very small performance-based pay program, allowing them to see a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. But today in the contracting industry, in order for us to be successful, not only must we need to price right, but we've really got to pay our coworkers what they really deserve. So remember, and in closing, that the only way that you're really going to keep the good people that you need is through performance-based pay.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's tape. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. Better yet, check out Grandy & Associates on the World Wide Web. Our website provides a detailed schedule of coming full-day seminars. Our address is www.grandyassociates.com, and it is also printed on the tape insert. Again, our website address is www.grandyassociates.com. The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.